Hello everyone, thanks for coming. My name is Asad Khan. I'm a lead program manager in Microsoft, and my group works on OData, Open Data Protocol. And that's what I will cover in this talk. So I have divided my talk into three areas. In the first part, I will cover what is OData, why Microsoft thought there is a need for another data exchange protocol. And then I will move into what is the use of OData in Microsoft and what products are already using OData. And in the third part, I will talk about the industry acceptance. How is industry reacting to this, and like what is the usage of this protocol in various scenarios? Okay, so before I talk about OData, it is important to understand the relationship of OData with RESTful services. I don't know like how many people understand the term REST or building RESTful services. Can I have a show of hands, like people who knows about? Okay, so I will spend a few minutes talking about the RESTful services in itself. So in the past, like in the 90s, we saw a lot of websites built on the internet, and like now there are over a billion websites available. But slowly what people realize is that websites themselves are important and useful, but the data which empowers the websites themselves is equally important. So as a result, what we saw was that people started building web services. And in web services, the most commonly used was SOAP. And in SOAP, what you do is that you expose your data, and then people can get to that data through, let's say, remote services calls. And so basically, that got really popular. But then in 2000, Roy Fielding, in one of his PhD theses, he talks about REST. REST stands for it's a set of patterns. Those patterns define how you exchange your data. And if you look at it, like the key things which are covered in REST is here. The first thing is that every resource in your data should be uniquely identifiable. What that means is that if you have a resource, let's say a product or a product category, and within that product category there is an ID, there has to be a unique URI to get to that resource. And so that is the first part. The second part is that you use the HTTP verbs. So in HTTP you have like get, put, post, delete. So you use those verbs to operate on your data. And so that was the big difference between REST and SOAP, because in SOAP everything was inside the SOAP envelope. So it was really hard to crack open what is inside the envelope unless you know about that specific data service. The third part is that the message has to be self-descriptive. And when I mean self-descriptive, it is like you use headers to tell about the content type, the mine type, and that makes it really easy for interoperability with various systems. And the fourth is that you rely on HTTP. So for example, so many times we have seen that you try to hit a site or a web service and you get 400, which is like a bad request, or 401, which means unauthenticated. And the last is that you rely on hypermedia to build a more connected system. And if you look at these services which are built by Twitter or Google and Facebook, these are like ideal cases. These are really good services which we use in our daily life, whether we are just getting the data or if you are an app developer and getting there, accessing the data which is behind like for example, if I'm using Twitter, if I want to get to the tweets, I give the user ID and it will return me the top tweets from that user. Similarly, in Google Plus, I give a user ID and I get to the data for that specific user. And similarly for Facebook. And of course, there is an authentication and sign up and handshake which happens on top of these protocols. So these are RESTful services. So one question you will have is that if these are RESTful services and these are not using OData. So what is OData, and why did we felt the need that we should introduce a protocol? So OData is built on the RESTful patterns. So if you, for a minute, if you look at these endpoints, and if you look at the URIs, one thing that you notice is that although they are very similar, but they are different. In the sense that if in Twitter case, if I want to pass the user ID, I have a question mark, and then I say screen name, and then I give the user ID. In the second one, if it's a Google Plus, I have a forward slash, and I say user ID. In the third one, the ID comes beforehand, and then I drill down into, let's say, comments. Similarly, if you look at the second request in each of the three cases, in the first one, I'm saying that I don't want you to send me all the tweets, because let's say I'm building a phone app. So it doesn't make sense that you send me like hundreds of tweets and I can't display all of them. So I say like there has to be a mechanism where I tell you how many messages you send back, and you can describe by saying count equal to 2. In Google case, you do the paging, and then there is a page token. And in the last one, the Facebook has a way where you say limit, and then you say after. So this is skip and take sort of thing. So now that's where the problem starts to come, because these are all RESTful, they are following the patterns, but they are not interoperable. Like if you know how to build a Twitter, you still need to see how Google does exactly the same thing about passing the ID, about passing the page information. Similarly, Facebook does it in a different way. So what OData did was that OData said, REST is good, we follow the same patterns, we follow the same standards, whether it is when it comes to the formats, we follow JSON and ATOM, but we define some common patterns. We say that if you have to use or define ID, this is how you define ID. If you have to do paging, you use this token to define the paging. If you want to filter, this is how you do filter. So similarly, we follow the REST patterns, we follow the same standards, HTTP, ATOM, and JSON, but we define some patterns on top of that, and we call it Open Data Protocol. So it's that simple. So basically, it's not about coming up with new formats, or it's coming about new conventions. It is like, if you all agree to use REST in a certain way, with certain conventions and strict way of defining queries and serializing, then you have more interoperable systems. So what I will do is that I will actually access a data endpoint which exposes data as OData. So this is a sample service, and let me show you the URL more clearly. Like if you have internet connection, you can go and hit the same site. This is just a sample data endpoint to show you what OData endpoints look like. And so what I will do is that I will show you how to write certain queries. So when you hit the root of the site which exposes data as OData, you will see the top entity sets or the connections which are exposed. And this is again not an OData format, this is ATOM pub. But what OData defines is that whenever you hit the root, you should always see the top collections in ATOM pub. What you can do is that you can say, I want to look into products. So you say products, and now it will return you all the products. And again, this is not readable because it is more for apps to build on top of it. And this is actually the standard ATOM. But the point being is that the way you define the query is very well defined. So if you want to get to the first product, you can say the ID is first, and then it will return you the first product. If you want to say that, oh, I want data in not in ATOM, I want in JSON, so you can say format equal to JSON, and then the data comes as JSON. So again, like these are standard conventions. Once you start doing that, you will... then all the data is accessible exactly the same way. And so that's one thing which OData did. The other thing it did was that it defined a very, very rich semantics for query. What that means is that, for example, if you want to say, I only want the names to come back, you say select, so in the query you say select
equal to main, and then all the names will come back. Similarly, like you can do other interesting stuff. You can say, I wanna get the top 10, and I wanna skip 3. So now there is a very specific query pattern for doing that. And now that's where you start seeing the difference between OData and the other things which were built by Facebook and Twitter, that they were using, every one of them were using a different way for paging. Whereas OData said, if you have to do it, you do it this way. And the advantage is that then everyone will be following the same pattern. So this is a sample site. Let's look at an actual OData endpoint. So this is the data which is exposed by the US government. And this tells you, again, this is an open endpoint you can hit through your any device. This gives you the crime data from all of US. And now, because this happens to be OData, it will exactly follow the same things. If you wanna get into the thing, you will say city crime, and then this will give you all the data back. If it has to do paging, there's a server-side paging and there's a client-side paging. Server-side paging is because you don't, if there are a million records, you don't want to bring the whole service down. So there is a server-side paging. And so if you look at the end of the page, there will be a next link. So everyone out there who's doing OData will always have this, the next link, which you see at the bottom here, exactly the same way. So now if you are writing an app and you say that I want to consume all the data, how do you know that the server controls it? If it is OData, you would always know that by the end of the first feed, there will be a next link, and if you keep following the next link, you will have all the data. Similarly, as I mentioned, you can have like other interesting queries. Now if you want to say order by, you always go and say order by the city, and whether I'm using my sample service, whether I'm using the data which is exposed by the US government, it all follows the same query. And again, like as I said, like OData has a very, very rich semantics. You can say filter on the state. So you can say I wanna just get the data, which is where the filter, and then in the filter you say state equal to Washington. And now the data which is coming back is only for that specific state. Not only that, you can keep building composite queries. So you can say where the state is Washington and the city is Redmond from where I came. So now it will give you only the data which is for that city. And I think there are only a few records for that. Similarly, you can keep building on that. You can say, and I want to only select a certain, like I'm doing projection at this point, if you think it from the relational point of view, I only want to see the robberies in that area, in that state. So OData really took the concept of query through URLs to the extreme, where you can pretty much query for anything. Just like in relational, you use SQL. In URI, we build the patterns for querying providing a very, very powerful mechanism. So now, what is the advantage? The advantage is that we started seeing ecosystem which is built around OData, because OData has a specific way how you serialize, how you query, so which means you can write apps. So let's look at Excel. So Excel is used around the world as a very good application for analysis of data. So they said, okay, so now because there are uniform ways to interact with data, why don't we go and build the support for OData in Excel? So now in Excel you can say from OData feed. And at this point, let's go back and I will get the crime data which I showed you earlier. And I will just take this URL and paste it over here. So when I click next, the first thing Excel will do is Excel knows that when it hits this endpoint, and if it is OData, it will get the top level atom pub, which describes you all the collections. So I pick those collections, I say next, and as I finish, it will ask me where you want to import the data. Let's say I want to import it in Power View. At this point, it will go it will start getting the data. It will keep following the next link unless all the data is inside Excel. And again, the data is serialized in a certain format, whether it is atom or JSON. So Excel can pick one of the two formats, and it knows how to serialize deserialize that thing. It knows the type system because OData has its well-defined abstract type system. So at this point, it has imported over 25,000 rows. And now you can see all of data in here. So so let's say I want to get the, for the per state, I want to say that I want to get, let's say, aggregated salt. So now it will show me all that information in the table. But that, not only that, now you can use the other things which comes in Excel. You can say, oh, I want to map it. And again, it will show you on a nice fancy map, which you can zoom in, zoom out. And again, like this, these capabilities are not built for OData. These capabilities are in Excel. But what OData did was it allowed interoperability. What OData did was it said, you can go and hit any endpoint which follow these patterns and conform to these set rules which are defined in OData, and then we will be able to get your data in Excel because now there is a standard way to do that. So now you can do more than that. You can say, let's go and you say, I want to get a scatter chart, and let's pick a few more fields. And let's say you want to see it on the time basis. So you let's say drop year over here, and now you can say, okay, play me how the things change over time. So now imagine all the data sources which are all out there, which governments are putting out. They are saying, okay, let's use the same thing, OData, because for us it doesn't cost much if you have to be RESTful, which is the way people are exposing their data. Why not follow these patterns? And once we follow that, now we are part of this rich ecosystem. So let me show you a few more examples. So this is like all of the data from Singapore, all the places which are here. And if you do a dollar, you can go and get all the places. And again, it will go and get the data for all the specific places, all the information, what restaurants are there. So now I can take the same URL, go to Excel, again, paste it over there, and then I can start analyzing this data. And again, like Excel is not the only one. Tableau, which is another great BI tool, that has OData support. We are seeing more and more apps and endpoints which are built the OData support. Another great example is that there is one of the cities in Canada. They expose all of their data as OData. And again, there is a very strong movement across the world where there is a need where governments are opening up their data, and they are saying, okay, so if we have to expose the data, why not use OData? Because it lets us play in that rich ecosystem. So now if you go here down, let's say if you want to see city buildings, and they wrote a website over it, which is sort of an app, which is running on OData. But rather than showing it in XML, it shows you in a much nice format. So you can say, okay, I want to only look for things which is, let's say, public library. And then you run the query. What they are doing is that they have provided you a query builder. So you don't even have to know how to write an OData query. But if you see down here, this is the OData query which is generated. And if you notice, they use the same format, which is filter name equal to the public library. And if you want to analyze this data further, or you want to do it in some other app, you can go and just type that that URL, and you can hit, and the same information is coming over here. So like this is the this is how open you can make your data. Like it is not relying on any specific understanding of the thing. The browser can understand. Lots of apps have started to build rich experience on top of it. So this is like a very, very quick overview of what is OData. And again, this is just one part of OData. There are many other things which are in OData. The for example, what I spend most of the time is around the query. But again, OData has a specific way where how you serialize your relationship. There is a way to even if you have a more advanced scenario, like there is a code of actions and functions. Basically, functions are non-side effecting. So let's say if you have a business logic and you don't want user to directly access the data, but you want the user to access it through a function, you can expose that function. Action is side effecting. For example, if you have a movie database and there is a service called Rent Movie, that could be an action because it's not about getting a specific deal. At that point, you are saying, I will run a business logic, I will do certain operations, and as a result, I will still return you the data. So, we are just scratching the surface of OData at this point. There are many other things which are built in OData. So again, as I said, we defined these formats, we called it an open data protocol. So let's move. So now we get it that there are specific patterns. We call them OData. They are really useful for interoperability. How is Microsoft using it? We have seen that slowly more and more products in Microsoft are picking this protocol and enabling where you can access the information and the data in those products and services through OData. And as a result, we are seeing that it not only provided a very open and interoperable data exchange protocol within our product, but it also allowed third parties to go and build interesting things on top of the services which we provide. So just to give you one quick example, let's look at SharePoint. So what I will do is that I will hit our own internal site, which we use for tracking OData stuff. And what I will do is that I will show you that within any Excel, how you can get any data within SharePoint, how you can get any data as OData. So what I will do is that I will go and go to the site content, and I will say I want to add an app I want to add something to the content. So let's say I pick a custom list. So what I will say is that let's call it Taipei to-do list, things I need to do here. And at this point, like, it has created a thing for me. And I can go and add items over here. I can say visit Taipei 101. Let's add something else. Buy some stuff for wife. Okay, for some reason it didn't show the first one. Let me go and add it again. Okay, so I have two entries now. So now what I will do is that I will show you how you get it through OData. So let's take the root of this site. I will open a new tab, paste it here, and I say get in and get to the, so this is the OData endpoint. So now all the SharePoint data which I had on that site is available through OData. So now this is how easy it is to write an app, a custom app on SharePoint, because you know the protocol itself, you know how to get the data from the outside of SharePoint, you are not relying on any custom protocol or any specific thing to exchange with that and understand what is the data over there. So over here you will see that I have somewhere Taipei to-do list, so I will say Taipei to-do list, and at this point it will return me the thing, so I can, it will say the two entries which I had, the name. So it should say the two items which I added. Let me do a select of the name. Yeah, here it is. So basically, they call it title. So basically, this is the first one where I said visit, and the second one is over here, buy some stuff. So now you can see like how the list which I just created in SharePoint, all of its data can be consumed as OData. So let's go back. So this gives you a quick, very very quick overview of like the advantages which we are seeing where product, more and more products in Microsoft are using OData. I listed SharePoint as one example. In System Centers and Windows Server, the PowerShell, you can define a commandlet and then all of that data can be exposed as OData. In Dynamics CRM and AX, they are exposing their data as OData. So these are the publisher examples for which are publishing their data as OData. When it comes on the consumption side, Excel is a great example where Excel is a client which consumes data from any publisher which exposes data as OData. Project Online, so again in Office 365, if you go and create your project online, all of that data is available as OData. Many products within Azure supports OData. Azure Active Directory just released with OData support. Lightswitch, Lightswitch is another app building thing which ships in Visual Studio. They can go and you can go and build an app against any endpoint without writing a single line of code using OData. Visual Studio itself has great support for OData. So if you are using Visual Studio and you want to build an app, what it does is that it automatically generates a proxy for you. And if I get time in the last few minutes, I can actually show both the Lightswitch and the Visual Studio. Again, so we just covered what OData is, a quick introduction. We covered how it is supported in some of the products, and you will see more and more products over the years that add support for OData. Now it comes, let's talk about the industry acceptance or what industry thinks about that. So last year in 2002, IBM and SAP and a few other companies got interested in OData. And what they said is that the protocol itself makes perfect sense. We would like to use it in our own products and add the support. But it would be really nice if this protocol is an industry standard rather than controlled by one company. And no matter how open the protocol is and how open the design process is, it is always more beneficial if the protocol itself is in the standards. So in 2012, with IBM, SAP, and like 20 more companies, We took OData to OSS to make it as an industry standard. Since then, we have seen more and more interest in the protocol itself. There are like many participants and many companies who are really supporting the thing. We expect that somewhere between the end of the year, it will become a standard. The standardization process always is a long process, so far it is going very smooth, and we have not hit any hurdle. Everyone likes the design, its openness, the way it relies on the existing standards. So this is again the way we are seeing the acceptance in the industry itself. So what are the key takeaways? The first one is that we are seeing that OData is more and more being used as a way to exchange data between a variety of products and services. This is becoming like a shared language which more and more products and clients are starting to understand. The second thing is that as you have seen, there are already so many examples out there where people have already exposed their data, whether it is government, whether it is private, whether it is enterprise, whether it is standalone products, whether it is cloud applications. We have seen its usage everywhere. Like if you have a scenario, if you wanna build a service, whether for the government to expose more data, which is available for the citizens, for the world to use it, for the openness, we have seen OData is a very very ideal candidate. If you are an ISV, you wanna build interesting applications on top of OData, that itself has a really good potential. As you saw, the city in Canada who exposed their data, they wrote their own web application. But we have seen big ISPs coming in and writing interesting data analysis tools which run within the browser, and then they have different business model around that. So again, that is a very interesting opportunity. The third one is that we already have a lot of libraries. If you want to build an app for Windows Phone, we have a library for that. For Windows 8, for iOS, for Java, for PHP. So we have all sort of libraries. And again, there are client side libraries, and then there are server side libraries. We have seen interesting things where. When you're building a website, the content management system like WordPress and Drupal and those things, they have started to add support for OData. So if you are in Drupal and you want to consume OData as part of your website, you can do it. There's an add-on for that. There's a really good JavaScript library which actually MIT builds called Data.js. You can use that to build any web application. This is like again a very fast introduction to OData, where it is used, and like what is the set of some of the products which are already using it. So I will quickly give you one more demo. I have a few minutes about this one is in the Visual Studio. So. So again, in Visual Studio, there is I will create a new app, a new project, and I will this light switch. I don't know if how many people are familiar with light switch, but light switch is a tool for building a really nice application for line of business application. And in this case, like, you don't have to write code; it is all visual. So I will use the. You can choose between VB and C sharp. So I will choose C sharp. And so I will go and pick the URL from the sample site which I showed you for OData. I will take this endpoint. And so So when you start the light switch, you will see that there are two options. You can create a table for the underlying data on which light switch runs, or you can connect to an external data source. So when I click that, it gives me an option that, oh, you want to connect to a data service. I click that. It will ask me the endpoint. I will provide the endpoint. It is an open endpoint, but if there is an authentication, you can provide a username and password. You click next, and at this point, again, because it knows how to interact with OData, it went ahead, it hit the root of the service. It said, oh, these are the top connections which are exposed as OData. So let's say I say products and categories, and then I hit finish. And now, so it understood the schema, it understands what is the relationship between product and categories, it understands the type for individual fields, everything comes in light switch. So at this point, all you have to do is you say, I want to add a screen. So you pick that, and let's say I will say list and details, and I want to connect to, let's say, categories. I hit OK, and at this point, it will go and generate the right UI for me. And if I hit F5, which is like to run the app in Visual Studio, it will go and run the app, and it will automatically populate the data. So again, as I said, like I just connected to the sample OData feed. It doesn't have that much entries, but it has like these few categories. So you click on beverages, it will show you the beverages which are there. So now you saw like how this endpoint for this sample OData feed, all I had to do was that just provide that thing. And then from there on, the light switch knew how to go and understand that data and show it and understand the relationship between the data and the types itself. And it created an app for me. And it is, this is a read-write, so you can read the data. If you want to make any changes, you can make the changes, you can save. If the data was too much, it would automatically enable the paging, the server-side paging, so you will see multiple pages down there. So again, this is another example. If you have any data, you expose it as OData, you automatically are in this very rich ecosystem. Where you can write, you can analyze data in Excel, you can write a line of business application using things like light switch. Tomorrow I will give you a demonstration how you can write applications. So through proxy generation, which automatically happens in OData, so you can write any app, whether it is for Windows 8, for phone, or any other platform you are interested in. So again, as I said, this is a very quick introduction. The key point over here is that Microsoft is committed to interoperability. In many cases, as you saw, we are leading the way of defining patterns and practices and protocols which make sense and which open up the whole ecosystem of how the data is exchanged between various products and services. And we are defining those protocols, and we start using those protocols in our own products and services to make them even more open. Okay, thank you very much.